thank you very much for downloading our podcast from Italy. I'm Jason, joined by my beautiful wife, Ashley, who together we own, operate, and live at La Tavola Marche, an agriturismo and cooking school here in beautiful Piovico, Italy. And it's a rainy May 3rd. Hello, Ashley.
Ciao. Ciao, tutti. It thundered and lightning and just poured all night long. It felt like Noah's Ark style. We live along a... Our place is truly nestled in the Apennines, and we live along the Candilano River, but there's also behind our house, we have a mineral water spring and a creek that goes down to the river. And boy, oh boy, when it pours like it did last night, the rivers are raging. It's loud outside. It's nice, though.
It is nice. We haven't done a podcast in quite a while. I would say a good 2.5 weeks.
I know. Sorry about that, guys. Thank you so much for coming back to us.
We just don't have time to sit down and talk into him, do all that goes into putting together the podcast.
I know, it's horrible. It seems like, oh, it seems so easy. And all these people like Adam Carolla do one every day. He's super busy. So you think, how do you guys not get a chance?
He has a whole team of people.
I know,
him.
I know.
We have lots to talk about, a lot going on. Spring is here. Did I say it's May 3rd? Yes.
I think you did. Well, let's take it back. Let's rewind. Let's go all the way back to Easter. Because that's when the last time we did a podcast was. We were talking about Easter stuff.
Okay.
Easter's past. So this Easter, we double booked ourselves. And we had lunch at Gaji's, the doctor's house, who helps us with everything, and his family. And then we had dinner at our dear friends and neighbors, Carolyn and Luke, the Dutch couple who live down the road. We were freaking full.
Do not do 2 Easter meals in one day. It is bad.
No, I ate so much crescia di Pasqua this year. I am sure that's why I'm having a hard time getting in my jeans. The lunch at Gaji's is always entertaining with his family because politics always somehow comes up and they just talk over each other.
It's who screams the loudest.
Yeah. And no one agrees, and Gaji has to just get a rise out of whoever's doing anything. So it's nice to know he doesn't just ride Jason. It's whoever's cutting the bread is doing it wrong.
No, his nephew was cutting. He wanted his nephew to cut the crescia di Pasqua, which is this Easter bread made with cheese and eggs, and it's yellow and real fluffy. And Gaji couldn't stop commenting on and trying to tell him how exactly to cut this stupid bread. And I just sat back and smiled. Because with a knowing smile, thinking, so it's not just me that can't put one foot in front of the other, according to the good old Dr. Gajster.
And glad you weren't put on the spot with a knife that time.
Yes.
Then it ended up, we didn't realize we had to go back to Gaji's the next day for Easter Monday and have another big meal with other friends of his from Fano. And it was just like, oh my God. It's wonderful to be invited, and we're very thankful to feel like family. But at the same time, this was right before we had guests arriving, and we were not planning on it. And the morning
we were planning Monday to get a lot of things done because everyone was coming Tuesday.
Exactly. Gaji comes over Monday morning, and he's like, "So, what time are you coming over for lunch? You should come over earlier than you did yesterday." Blah blah blah. And it was like, "Oh my God!" And we couldn't say no. So it's like, well, there goes half the list and half the day, but. And with Easter, there's all these freaking festivals after it.
So from Easter Sunday is a holiday, obviously. Easter Monday, Pasquetta, or Little Easter, is also a holiday.
Or Luna di Pasqua.
Luna di Pasqua, however you want to say it. Then you had the...
25th of April.
Yep, that was the Festival of Liberation for World War II. Then May 1st, Primo Maggio, was another day off. So not a lot of... days off, which is hard when you have guests, I don't stock food. Like I shop every day. We pick new stuff every day. So
there's nothing in the freezer.
Yeah. And so when you have a lot of these days off, what happens is the shops will bulk up the day before. And then the next couple of days, because everyone has to restock all their things from the holiday, it's usually pretty bare bones. So it gets... Menu planning is interesting at this time of year, but it all worked out.
And you have to plan your shopping around the time of day.
Oh, my God. I think the worst shopping day of the world is...
Of the week.
The worst shopping day in Italy is, I would say, the day before, this Saturday before Easter.
Yeah, well, it's the Saturday before a festival.
Or the day before the festival.
Yeah.
Quindici Agosto, Ferragosto, is a pretty horrible one, too.
The grocery stores are packed.
Absolutely.
And people are buying tons of stuff. Everyone's cooking big meals. And, oh my gosh, it is... it's a zoo. Jason tries to go super early to get it before it just becomes mayhem in the stores.
So that was interesting. So we're through all that. So from here until the end of May, I think there's the next holiday. So we're in the clear for a while.
Not counting Saints Days, of course.
Of course. Well, that you never know when those might pop up. the garden's coming up. We've planted. We've gotten some of our. It's been really wet. It hasn't been cold. It hasn't been warm either.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been real unstable, so you'll get a nice afternoon but a crappy morning, and then you'll get a nice day, and then it'll be a horrible day. So we haven't really put a lot of stuff down. My potatoes are popping up. My fava beans are flowered, and they're starting to grow. We put down our onions. I put down some lettuces that don't mind the cooler temperatures. We put down radish seeds, rucola seeds. The carrots are coming up. The chard or the beetle, the kale is coming up. So all that stuff is doing well, and we're kind of holding off a little bit.
I know. It's so muddy down there.
It is really muddy. So that's coming in a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And when are they turning this? When are you guys doing the rose?
It gets a little nicer and the ground dries out a little, we'll have another tractor come by and Zappa. I can't think of the word in English.
Turn?
No, we Eric? Already turned it. We till.
Till.
We till the soil.
Turn and till.
Till, and then we'll have another tractor come by and put the rows in with the plow.
It's awesome. Then it feels like the garden's going.
Then it feels like
because right now it's like there's patches of grass or parts, little weeds growing here and there.
All we did is spread the cow poop, flip the soil, and we left it. That was mm-hmm. 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, weeds start growing. It happens. But the real work comes this next week when I have to empty the pool, power wash the whole thing,
and you can't be too close and too hard with the power washer, or you bust holes in the liner.
Then we refill it. And get it all squared away, and then I'll put the cover back on and wait until end of the month and
exactly.
then take it off. Then, oh my God, setting up all the hoses for the garden is another huge job too.
Those hoses are huge and weigh a ton.
Yeah, they weigh a ton. They're big, giant, wide, flexible plastic hose that you wouldn't think so. That sounds light. No,
I know. It looks deceptive.
It's deceptively ridiculously heavy. So get all that. Squared away, and then we'll be ready to go for the outside. Put in some flowers.
I know. We got a couple the other day. It's starting to feel good.
It is starting to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting thing that I've been banging my head against the wall trying to find here in Italy. Italians are kind of funny. I cannot find things like perlite to mix in. The stuff in potting soil that you mix in that's kind of spongy, looks like styrofoam pieces. That's
exactly.
called perlite. To mix into your potting soil to make the soil lighter. Cannot find that. Had to order it from another country. Cannot find really simple organic fertilizers like blood meal, bone meal. I want to put these micronutrients into the soil because all we really throw on is
manure.
And that's really good, but I've been reading a lot, and there are other things, micronutrients, that would really help the garden that are easily available and, well, this article was written in the States, cheap. crushed oyster shells, bone meal, blood meal.
The crushed oyster shells are really good for the chickens too.
Oh, is that true?
Mm-hmm. We would be able to use that if we could get the crushed oyster shells. We wouldn't have to use the spray we use for the mites.
Oh, interesting.
That was the stuff. Uh huh.
So there's these things that are really common in other parts of the world. You go onto a UK website, you can find all this stuff all day. Huge sacks of it. Just here in Italy, it's not happening. They just don't do it. Either they use chemical fertilizers or they use just
manure like us. Or they source it in a few things here and there from tiny places or ask them to order it. And they'll say, oh, you can find it in Giro, which just means around. It's like,
No, you can't.
And Gaji even poo-pooed the whole thing.
Yeah, I won't repeat on the podcast what Gaji's had to say when I asked him, started talking about micronutrients for the garden. Anyway, so I don't know. I've been getting into soil. I know that's very interesting. You guys are probably all on the edge of your seats. Thinking about me getting into a discussion about soil. micronutrients.
Oh, I know, but it is interesting because it goes back to the sourcing and how hard it is. Oh, God, what else is going on?
Oh, here's a little, another funny little bit, slice of Italian life. Mm-hmm. So we are to the last stages of our permanent visas before we get our citizenship. And now,
awesome.
Which is, thank God, thank
it's so
God.
Cool.
Because not only is it going to be awesome to have an Italian passport, how the even better part is not having to fill out the same forms with the same information year after year and just
oh
go
God,
through
you're
the dance.
Right. It's true.
If you want to know, if you want to know more in depth of what we're talking about, you can go back to this winter where we talk in depth about having to renew our immigration and what a mess
pain
it is.
And paperwork.
It's just a mess. Anyway, so we have to take a language test, which is it's a really easy, basic Italian language test. No problem. If you don't want to take the language test, all you have to do is pass a accredited course. Well, I'd rather just go take the test because I've seen the test and we worked with it with our Italian tutor, and it's not a big deal at all. So you apply, you write a domanda to the Stato, to the state, saying you would like to sign up for this class. Pardon me. I did this in January because I figured, great, it'll take them a month to get back to me. They'll tell me the class is in a month. It'll be all taken care of, ready to go before our season starts. No problem. Check it off the list. Buona notte. One less thing to worry about. So I make the domanda online. I make the request online, and I don't hear anything back from them. Well, I read more fine print. They have 90 days to respond. Well, sure enough, freaking 90 days to the dot, we get a letter in the mail. Yes, yes, your test is in Urbino. It will be 3.5 months from now at 6:00 in the evening. Well, that's the middle of June.
We have a wedding that week.
We have a wedding that week. We have a wedding party here. There's absolutely no way we can do this at all. This is why I wanted to get it done in the wintertime when – you know, because really you can't make these – if I make the request in December, no one's looking at it until after 6th of January.
But you missed the best part too.
What's that?
To reschedule.
To reschedule? No problem. If you'd like to reschedule, just resubmit another request.
No, and you have to do it so many days before the date of your test.
And you must do it 90 days before the date of your test. Well, when they sent it to us, it was like 96 days or
whatever.
Whatever.
The dates never match up. Like,
no.
You can never get it in. So it was just like, awesome. So, we're going to have to go up to Urbino to the Instituto and
plead our case and
hopefully meet them in person and try to do it very Italian and hopefully get the test on another day.
Again, another what should be a simple procedure just turns into it's just ridiculous.
I know. But moving on to more fun things, we did also recently go get more wine, and that's always a pleasure to meet up with some of our favorite winemakers. And we saw this year we didn't fill up quite as much this round, partially because we just used our little car and we can only fit so many Demijohns at a time. But we went down near Ancona, well, really near Senegalia and inland towards Moro di Alba and Castello di Jesi. And we got, what did we get? We got Lacrima from Juicy and his Rosato, which is spectacular.
We got then we went to Villa Santa Mica, mm-hmm. which is maybe 15 minutes away from him, run by women, a really, really pretty place. Juicy's awesome. He is so passionate. His wine, you can tell him and his wife do everything.
They do everything.
It's really like he is really in it. Santa Mica is more charming. Like it's more set up for like,
It's like on the edge of a park. And
yeah, it's
so
got
you
these
can
really huge 10,000 liter oak wine barrel things. And it's, you know, they do weddings there and that
it's,
kind
as,
of stuff.
As our friend Luke said, it's much more romantic.
Yes. Whereas Giusti, he is about the wine. His place is beautiful too, it doesn't – it
doesn't have the character charm. It just – well, also – the whole name of the place is Antica Cantina Santa Mica.
Villa Santa,
and that place has been around forever. So that's part of what the charm is you know you're going into this old cantina, and
which
it's
is the,
cool.
Which one thing that a lot of people mention when they come back from doing the wine tour with Marco is that it's not as in the States where you go to these wineries and they have the big tasting rooms and all the pomp and circumstance
you're right.
And stuff. here in Italy, it's more, it's about the wine. Mm-hmm. I mean, Villa Santa Mica is lovely to walk around, but it doesn't have like the, like the ones in Napa where you go to this big room and it's stuff. It's not like that at all. She is siphoning wine from a gas, what looks like a gas pump.
Oh my gosh.
From the
How
barrel.
Big were those, the those old
concrete ones?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
She was talking to Luke about it and he was in awe. I guess it was some antique way to do it too. It was pretty cool.
So it's just a different vibe. It's more about like, this is wine. It's meant to be drank versus this is wine.
A show.
Yeah. A big show. Exactly. Yeah. The theater of it.
The nose of the...
Yeah. So that's really fun. So we've got about half of what we need, and then we'll pick another day and load up the car again and do the other half. Last year we did...
Like 600 liters.
Yeah, last year we rented a huge like Sprinter van and did all of our like big load up, you know, toilet paper, soap, IKEA run, you know, all the dry goods stuff at, all in one go. And that's... It was just too much of a deal.
It really was. So this was a bit better, and then we came home and... bottled and corked and labeled the bottles with our guests, and it was a blast. It was really fun. And if you guys haven't seen it before, check out our YouTube or Vimeo video, Visiting Vineyards and Bottling Wine and in La Marche, and it's all about from last year when we did it. And it's really pretty video, I think.
Yes, yes. Other things. Oh, road.
My gosh. I have to write... someone sent us an email,
well,
a journalist.
So you gotta set it
okay,
up.
We live around along a horrible road. We live about 6 kilometers down this 10-kilometer white road, which is with gravel, partial cement, and it looks like it was bombed in World War II and never fixed. It has potholes all over. It's a disaster.
They
fix parts of it at times, and
the bridge, the normal bridge that floods, is totally underwater.
Oh my gosh, that's always scary. There was a mudslide off of part of the road.
Yeah, the road gave
way. It's always a really nice, warm welcome to the guests when they have to turn off the main road, and that's their first like welcome to our place. Is the 6 kilometer crazy pocked road, and we got an email from a journalist in Sant'Angelo in Vado, our town that we're technically in, and kind of 10 kilometers, 12 kilometers outside of, and they want to do an article on the road for the paper and want to interview us. And first of all, it's always intimidating doing something in Italian because you want to make sure you sound as educated and articulate as possible. But we also don't want to, like, I don't know. I'm not like get in trouble, but like,
I don't want to stir the shit pool.
Not too much.
The road is horrible.
I know.
But I don't want to. I will just. We have to be very.
We have to
choose our words carefully.
Exactly.
That's all. We don't want to say, "Oh, the road stinks," and what's going on? This is ridiculous.
These mayors don't do
anything.
We
pay our taxes. Blah, blah, blah. No one's doing it. No, I don't want to do that. I want to be more like, yes, the road has been like this, I'm sure, many years before we have arrived, and.
Something about the beauty of the road, and it's sad others can't enjoy it, or
yeah,
that's there.
Yeah, the nature, you know, so many people use it. It's a shame it's in such horrible condition, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
Just be more, you know, diplomatic about
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
But we have to do that. You have to talk with that lady.
Oh, my gosh.
It won't do anything. I see an article about a crappy road in the local paper once every month.
No, we need to have the Giro d'Italia come down the road to have it get fixed.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that one
I know,
before.
Maybe I'll say that in the paper. All right.
Yes.
I will, actually.
This year we have added Wi-Fi to our guests.
Oh, yeah. We wanted to talk about this with you guys.
Which is a really interesting thing because we've never had internet at our house for the guests before because the internet hasn't really been available. It's always been through your phone, like horrible dial-up internet. Well, now they came out with this satellite, blah, 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 unlimited internet. Great. So we haven't fixed the... it's just coming out of our room right now. We haven't figured out how to get it through the meter-thick stone wall to beam it to somewhere near the front door or near an area where people can sit. Well, anyway, right now it's coming off the it really you can get it if you stand in front of our house. There's a little table. It's in front of one of the apartments, the ground floor apartment. And it's incredible to see people congregate like as soon as they get back. Like they will go you know, they come back for the day and they go, you know, go upstairs, go to the bathroom, whatever. And as soon as they come back down, they are sitting there. And it's really interesting.
It is. It kind of was a total bummer. Like, the first set of guests to know that there was internet available, and they just magnetized to it and hypnotized by it. And you'd have a break from the cooking class, and instead of everyone just sitting outside having a glass of wine, chatting in the sun, they'd all run around the corner and get online. And it was like, all right, come back. And they're like, oh, one second, you know, finishing up this. Or before people headed to bed, they'd have to check their messages. And I mean, I understand the need for it, but
it was so nice before because people were really forced to talk to each other and just sit around and have a glass of wine and visit
read
and
or
whatever.
Yeah.
And it seems like now that there is internet here, people are not interacting as much. They're more, any chance they have, they're going on with their iPhones or their iPads or even their laptops downstairs. It's kind of weird. I definitely notice it now.
Oh yeah. And since we're so far in the country, it's something we haven't lived with. So yeah, like I said, it's a bummer. Like I understand, like, for myself, if we're traveling, I need to be able to have internet access. Since we own our own business, I have to be able to check emails always. So I understand that need, but it's been so nice that people have, yeah, like Jason said, talked, or families it's been nice not having people look at it or not seeing phones as part of something when we're walking around. And I just wonder what that's going to be like this summer when we get busy.
Or when I'm walking back and forth each time and the people, like, it's weird. Do I say hello every time?
Oh, I know. I was thinking that too.
Or do I just keep my head down? But they are not paying attention to me.
No, not at all. But it's weird because I'm like, I see you. Should I be like, chat? I was thinking the same thing.
Were you really?
Yes.
Because I was doing that. I kept walking back and forth and there would be one more person or one less person or different people standing there at that little spot. And after you say hello to people once, how many times do you keep saying?
I know. I was thinking, so I'm curious to weigh in your thoughts. Do we leave it for the guests? Do we tell people we don't have it? Do we
regulate
it? Well,
now you can't tell people we don't have it. You just talked about it on a podcast.
Well, do we regulate? Do we say it's only available a certain amount of time?
Or in the mornings or something?
I kind of like that.
Now you're playing.
Because we also had people come down early in the morning to start checking stuff, way before breakfast. And I thought that was interesting also.
Yeah, they would be down there at like 6 a.m. Just outside on the thing.
Yeah, reading the paper or whatever it was. But it was just like, oh. So well, technology problems, interesting.
We have some three-night packages Ashley wants to talk about now that spring, summer's here. The three-night pizza, the things you just
did.
Oh,
yeah. We still have some space. We've got a summer package that we put together this year of arrive Thursday night to pizza night. World freaking famous. It's awesome. It's a blast. Everyone has so much fun. You eat a ton of pizza, have great salad from the garden, and my incredible tiramisu. What can I say? Then on Friday, we go for our market trip to Apecchio, Feel Like a Local Friday, and visit Fusciani and the meat and cheese warehouse.
Didn't you just do an Instagram video?
No, my Instagram video got deleted.
Yeah.
Oh, and follow us on Instagram. I'm 2 away from 400.
So when you get 400, does that give you self-esteem?
I get points.
I get 2 up points, self-esteem up points.
Exactly. And I did post a video of it on Tastemade, which is really cool. So I'll talk about that later too. But then we go and have porchetta, and Jason talks about porchetta from the area, and a little walk through the traveling market in Apecchio. And I know we've talked about it before. We go up to the brewery for beer and grappa, and then out to lunch at the Hunter's Hideaway. It's a blast. And then Saturday, a half-day cooking class, and Sunday, yeah, out of here. So it's a three-night package, and it's, I think, starting at 7.15 euro a couple.
Well, whatever. Email us if you're interested.
Yeah, and Thursday nice to Sunday, little, it's a little taste of La Marca. You get a little taste of everything.
Countryside. It's a good countryside taste.
It is. It's really fun.
So we did. We actually just finished that. We just did the.
We did.
We just did the Apecchio thing yesterday.
Do you want to talk about or some of the crazy questions we get? Well, first of all, if you guys have any questions before about the podcast or about what we do or what life is like or any of that, just shoot us an email, and you can find us on Facebook or Twitter or just info@letovlamarque.com. And we try to answer your questions when we can on the air. But we had a couple recent email questions.
Well, they weren't that recent.
That's true.
A little while ago. But anyway.
Well, yeah, I say recent meaning like the last 2 years.
Yeah, so we get a lot of questions from people who inquire about places, stay here, blah, blah, blah. Some of them are really good questions. Most of them are normal questions, and a few of them are
funny.
And no one wants to hear about the good questions or the normal questions.
No.
You just want to hear about the crazy-ass questions.
A question we get a lot, and then I wonder if there's a better way to word it, if I'm saying something wrong, is Eurocash. When we talk about methods of payment, you can pay with a credit card, this and that, or Eurocash.
If we put cash,
people will bring dollars. It's happened. So then people ask, where do you get Euro cash? What is Euro cash? How do I find euros in Europe? And I just want to let anyone know that if you bring your ATM card to anywhere in Europe that uses euros, you'll get euros back.
Yes. You pick, if you put it in the machine and follow the instructions, they
you'll
will
get currency
out
of that country.
Yes. We don't live in a third world. It's not, I mean, it is Italy, but Euro.
I guess it's just
yeah,
now.
How else do you say Euro cash? How
I
else
don't
do you
know.
Say cash?
I want to say contanti.
Would you say cash in euros?
Oh, I guess you could say cash in euros. You're right. The guests who, some guests who were just here had mentioned, I was shocked how easy it was to use ATMs in Piobico. I thought they're the same. Like, so that's a great question that we get quite often. Another one that Jason really enjoyed.
The voltage in Florence is different than America. It is 200. It is different. Is the voltage in your house the same in Florence? The electricity, which I had to read twice to even understand that question. And
we're 2 hours away from Florence.
We're 2 hours away from Florence. We're the same country. And the answer is yes. It is the same electric. Well, not
currency was the question or
current. It is the same. Well, not exactly the same current. That would be different current that is going that way. But it is the same type.
Same voltage.
Yes.
Yes. That was a
good
classic
one.
If you have any odd questions you'd like us to slightly mock on the air, send them to us.
My favorite one is we will be staying in blah 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 for 4 days before. Where is this in relationship to your house? And it's like first of all, I don't know where the tiny little town of,
or the hotel
or
name.
The hotel. They'll just say the hotel, not the city. Just we're staying in hotel Grand Oro.
Yeah,
where is this in respect to your house? So
how do we get to your farmhouse from there?
Secondly, I'm going to do the same thing that you would do to find that, which is just Google it and MapQuest it. So I don't understand that
one. You
can
save everyone a step.
Save everyone a step and just in the same machine that you're using.
Instead of the email you're typing, just type that right bad boy question into Google.
Right into Google. How far is my hotel to Piobico, Italia? And it will spit exactly what I'm going to tell you out. That is also a good one we get. What's another? There was one more the other day I was just like, oh, that's awesome.
Well, we always really love and appreciate when people are booking a 2-night stay with us, but where we can suggest a 7-night stay in Tuscany.
I love that one too. We want to stay two with you, but we're on a vacation for 3 weeks.
Yes. We would like to stay 2 nights with you. Anywhere else you can recommend spending money with that's not your location, please let us know.
A lot of people want Ashley, since she speaks English and she knows Italy a little bit, to plan their holidays for them.
And this is not to discourage people who
from asking
questions at all. But it's just thinking sometimes about the questions. Oh, I got a great one the other day about asking if I knew how to become a real estate agent in Italy. And they did preface it with, I know this is not your expertise, but how do you become a real estate agent in Italy? And do you think I could become one? And I just said, you're right. I'm not an expert in this. I would suggest looking at expats in Italy or other forums.
But it's fun. We just we don't mean to discourage people who want to stay here from sending questions or asking questions. We're picking 6 questions out of the 10,000 we've gotten.
Yes.
Most of the questions are totally normal and
yes,
everyday normal questions you would ask if you were going to stay somewhere or information about the area. It's just the select one or two are just so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They're just priceless. We should really write a little book about them. Or maybe we'll end our next podcast with one of the best questions that we've gotten from the previous period. Because it's great.
It is. Moving on. Oh, like I mentioned before.
So send them in, like you
said.
Send them in. Send those questions in. Don't forget, info@latavolamarque.com if you want to stay here.
I feel like we're going to get some. About the videos, about the wine video. And the other ones you can find on YouTube and Vimeo under La Tavola Marque or Vimeo at Ashley Bartner. I'm really excited. We have been invited by Foodie TV to add some of our videos to their
Foodie TV.
Yeah, the app. And it's an awesome app, actually, of really cool little short documentaries and stories about farmers or growing things in the old ways or community farms and or making salt or beekeepers. They're really cool. And they're all about a minute and a half to 5 minutes long or so. And they've, like I said, they've asked to post some of our films as well. So I'm excited. We'll be in really good company. And speaking of good company, our friends at Perennial Plate, Daniel and Mira, they, they came out here about a year ago and stayed with us while they were filming, their segments for La Marque for their videos in Italy. And we hooked them up with the Truffle Hunter and, Maki, the gelato shop, and made pasta. And we had a great time with them. Last night, holla, they wanted James.
Please don't do that.
That was a joke.
Please don't do that. That's not even joking.
In all honesty, they totally deserve it. They won a James Beard Award last night for web series On Location, and they couldn't be.
That's their second one.
I know. They couldn't be more well-deserving. If you guys don't know who they are, check them out, Perennial Plate. And
on YouTube or just Google it. They're everywhere.
Exactly. Really cool.
They get paid. They get to go on vacation. And I know it's not vacation.
No, but they're working.
They're working.
And they freaking travel seven months out of the year.
Yeah, they travel 7 months a year. That's crazy talk. Do you think you could do that? Travel 7 months a year?
I don't know. That's a long time.
That's a long time on the road. And eventually, don't you just want to sleep in your own bed and not have to eat out somewhere?
That's true, too.
I know.
But rock on, right on to
those
two. Good
job, guys.
Yep.
I am very envious of them that they get to travel for 7 months a year.
I know. It's totally inspiring.
And get to do it for a living.
I know. It's so cool.
So good jobs. Good job. Congratulations. You guys work really hard, and you do, by far, they do far and away, head and shoulders, the best little short videos like that I've seen.
There's always heart and a good story involved.
Absolutely. Coming up tonight, we have dinner tonight. So let's see. What's the menu for tonight? I'm doing fava bean crostini. I'm doing some Liscaro.
Agretti.
Agretti. How do you... So there's this vegetable called Liscaro, Agretti, Baffi di Campo.
It looks like... individual grass stalks in a weird way.
Almost like weird seaweedy things. I've never seen it until we came here. It's all over the place this time of year, and you kind of pick the little pieces,
They sell them in bundles with each little strand or blade of this green still has the roots attached, which makes it really cool and really easy to identify at the market because people mention it when we serve it. We always save some of the actual greens back so Jason can show them what it looks like without being cooked. And people always go, oh my gosh, I saw that at the market. I saw that at the little fruit and vegetable stand. And so it's really, really nice. It's much more mild than spinach, for example.
Yeah, think of it as a green like that. It's really green and it's almost looks like pine needles, wouldn't you say, with a root at the end?
I guess. This is the longest. I don't know.
Yeah, like a long, I don't know. It comes to a point. Whatever. You blanch it, saute it. You can put it into lots of different stuff. I'll blanch it and saute it in garlic, olive oil, and lemon juice and then make a little nest out of it, like a bird's nest, and then poach an egg and put the poached egg in the middle. Oh, how pretty.
It's nice. It's good.
It's really good.
Even kids love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's greens. If you like sauteed spinach, you'll like this. Mm-hmm. It's different. And then what else am I doing?
I think you're doing the radish.
Oh, that's right. Strawberry radish salad.
Which we recently put that up on the blog and check it out.
And then asparagus risotto for the primo.
Beautiful.
And then veal in the pan with capers and white wine. And then
and of course the antipasti, the meat and cheese that. Our home cured meats.
And then what else? For dessert, I'm going to do strawberries with a Vicholino Zabaion. So the Zabaion, the old school, we're going back. This is old school.
This is like 60s, 70s?
Yeah. You take the eggs and you beat them over the hot water bath, the bain-marie, and then you add sugar and it becomes really frothy and thick, almost like whipped cream. And then you add a hit of liquor. You can add coffee. You can add flavoring, whatever. I think I'll probably add the Vicholino and then I'll spoon that over strawberries.
It is nice. It's really nice. God,
gorgeous.
Loves it.
It's gorgeous for a nice light dessert after a big meal with a biscotti. Done. That's all you need.
I think I'm hearing someone drive up. I think we have to wrap this up.
Do we really?
Our guests are arriving.
All right.
I know. Oh, we're lucky we made it this far. We weren't sure. Jason was like, let's see if we can do this in one take.
Okay, so bring us home.
All right, you can find us at letavlamarque.com, letavlamarque.blogspot.com. Check out our recipes at letavlamarquerecipebox.blogspot.com. These are tongue twisters. Try to say it with me. I already shouted out YouTube and Vimeo. Check out our video on Taste Made on their app and under La Tavola Marque. And we did our video on the Feel Like a Local Friday. It was really cool. Yep. I think it came out nice. And like Jason said earlier, you can shoot us an email at info@latavolamarque.com, Twitter, La Tavola Marque, and Instagram, help me hit 400, at Ashley Bartner, A-S-H-L-E-Y-B-A-R-T-N-E-R.
Why did you make that one the only one that's not La Tavola Marque?
I was switching it up.
Excellent marketing strategy on that one.
It says it somewhere else. Don't worry about it.
Whatever. Okay. If you LATAVOLAMARCHE.com, you said that. And if you like what you hear, you're interested in what we're doing, or you think it's cool, share the love, tell a friend. Because of you guys, we've gotten to reach all over, like, people all over the world. It's awesome.
It is wild.
When we get emails about people listening to us driving home from work across the Bay Bridge, it's like,
whoa,
oh my God.
I know, it's wild.
So, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you next time. No song of the week. I don't have time to look one up.
Ciao.
Ciao. Have a great one.